We're here at Fringe Central, and finally all expectations and hopes have been realised as the rain has arrived. I'm joined by...
Rosie Carrick.
And one of our reviewers saw Passionate Machine, which also has a bit of a history in Brighton as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's where I live. And so the origins of it started there, with a friend sort of talking to me about time travel. But it covers Brighton, Russia, America. It sort of skittles around different places, yeah.
So a two-part question. Tell us about Passionate Machine, but also how that idea was born, that moment when it came into being.
Well, Passionate Machine is essentially a very geeky time travel adventure story about a woman, me. It's based very closely to my own personal and professional life, who is obsessed with time travel and in sort of the theory of it and the culture of it, and who then in her own life receives a letter, an SOS from her future self, who is stuck 100 years in the past and must rescue herself. So she gathers what knowledge she has, which is mainly from the films of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Marty McFly. Marty McFly is the character, but he can be real to us, and sets about trying to work out how on earth to do this thing like her future self has done, but this time to get it right. So it's a kind of caper story in that sense, but it's also about the way that we engage with our past and future selves, you know. So it asks whether you, the last time you went out and got wasted, did you leave a pint of water out for your next morning self, you know, or are you the next morning self who woke up to find that your last night self hadn't left you any water, and the next time you get booze in, you know, will you change that and do something different? And it came out of really, I sort of describe how it came out in the show. The show itself, the fiction of the show, has become a sort of realization of the ideas of, well, that sounds obvious, but, you know, so in the show, as with the making of the show, the original idea came from a friend of mine, James, who knew of my absolute love for the Russian poet Vladimir Mayakovsky, who was an avant-garde revolutionary poet who committed suicide in 1930 after getting a lot of pressure from Stalin to stop criticising him. And my friend James, once when I was reading his poetry, weeping at how beautiful it was like, Rosie, mate, all you need to do is make a time machine, go back to just before he killed himself, then you can bring him back, he can live out here with us, we can all hang out together as a group, you know, we'll cheer him up a bit. And then when he's getting close to death and he's had enough, we'll just drop him back to the exact same point where, you know, you picked him up from and reset the time stream. So it'll be amazing. History books will change before our eyes and, you know, suddenly they'll go back up to see what the noise of the gunshot was and it'll become old and frail in a matter of minutes. It'll be the greatest mystery ever. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a very good idea. It's about my own life. It's about Vladimir Mayakovsky. It's about my relationships with my daughter and with other women and with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now, what's interesting to me, you invoke the names of films.
Yeah.
And there's been lots of books and films about time travel. What can you specifically achieve as a theatre maker that you think is different and over and above what you could have done if you'd have made a film or a book?
Well, I mean, the play does have some filmic aspects to it. There's a lot of montage. I talk about Rocky Balboa and the idea of, you know, montage being a form of time travel that sort of condenses whole chunks of time into sort of handy, nifty little video. But essentially, this is a story about me and my life, and it's one thing that a lot of people go away asking is, which bits of this were real, which bits aren't real, is this really possible? It's so closely plotted around the events of my own existence, and there's a lot of video and photography and stuff in there that's all plucked up from my own life. And I'm right there in the room with these people, and I'm not a film star. It's about, in that sense, it's not about, you know, a lot of time travel stuff is about some dystopian sci-fi future where someone has to save the world. And this is about me being in my living room, in my pyjamas, dealing with the actual quite dull admin of time travel and working out what the hell to do next. And
I guess also, you know, we hear a lot from both mystical and scientific traditions in quantum physics that time is actually spatial, and that to experience time in consciousness in three dimensions, we see it as linear, you know, with a future unattainable but up ahead and the past gone. Time travel kind of starts to affirm the idea that it's all happening at once too, and so that allows you as a theatre maker to, you know, not be constricted by linear time.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, it sort of plays with that a bit in terms of technology. So I play a recording from a friend of mine who died, you know, sort of bringing back into the room someone who is dead, reading out somebody's work who no longer exists, you know, looking at old photos of people who don't exist anymore. This is just strange, uncanny way that we experience everything at once when we have all of these things around us. And, yeah, and obviously in the theatre here, it's like a one-hour show, so it's just moves quite quickly along the pace of it, and it just sort of incorporates lots of different threads all at one time, sort of lots of different plot threads, but also lots of different temporal threads, and brings them together.
Take me into the devising and the rehearsal process for all of that.
In terms of the staging of it, do you mean?
Yeah, and how it got written, I guess.
Well, it started off actually as a blog, and in the show I talk about having been writing a blog when I received this letter from my future self. So in 2015, I knew that I wanted to write this. I had it bubbling away in my brain, but I was doing a PhD on Vladimir Mayakovsky at the time, and I thought, I'll be mad if I start this now. So I thought, I'll just do some thinking about it. So I started this blog, which was just about different scientific theories, different ways that we kind of experience magic and strange time travel in our kind of everyday lives. And then last year, 2017, I did a sort of work in progress, which is basically a read through, you know, it felt a lot like at that time giving a talk based on the blogs with a load of photos to illustrate what I was talking about. And I really, you know, I'm a poet and a translator of Mayakovsky, and I do a lot of comparing, so I talk a lot of bullshit on stage often, but I have never made a theatrical piece before, so I had no idea really about staging. So Katie Bonner, who is a brilliant playwright, directed it, and we sat down together, and she just pulled, I'd done what I thought was a finished thing, and she just said, look, this needs to move here, this, why on earth would you realise that then, it has to come here. And she really helped me to shape it in a way that I just would never even have thought of before, and to really make, because some of the things can be quite sort of confusing in the show, or quite difficult to grasp at first, but she really helped me to work out how to sort of either explain things in a more simple way or to physically move around in a way that illustrated what I was talking about. So our rehearsal time was sort of down in Brighton at Comedia. They gave us a space to use there. It was brilliant. And a lot of it was more like dramaturgy to begin with, just helping me work out how to structure this sort of sprawling thing into something vaguely comprehensible.
Final question, a bit of a stinker of a question. What do you think Mayakovsky would think of it?
It is an interesting question. Well, Mayakovsky was extremely sensitive and extremely egotistical, so I like to think that he would really like it. Obviously, I'll ask him when I see him, you know. I think that his own work is very inventive. He often likes to talk, his final works had a lot to do with time travel. He became very interested in the idea of what people thousands of years in the future would think of him, of how they would still read his works and think, my God, he's the biggest genius in the world. So I think that, you know, Mayakovsky is interested in making new, innovative, interesting things, and perhaps this falls into some familiar tropes of time travel narratives, but I think that it uses that as a basis to create something new and exciting. So I think he'd love it.
Well, we need to make a time machine and go and fetch him here to the Fringe.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll get him to leave a bit of space and he can come and give his 2p worth in a minute.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.